This morning we are going to be in Matthew chapter 9, verses 32 through 34. A very short passage, but that really has nothing to do with the amount of sermon. I'm just going to throw that out there. But it's a passage that sometimes is just overlooked because it does seem really small. What has taken place prior to this is a couple blind men that Jesus had healed, and they are coming into a house where Jesus was at, and the two blind men were healed, and then it says that they were getting ready to leave. And so that's where this passage starts. And so let's look at this. And when it says, as they went out, that's the two men that were healed. As they went out, behold, they brought to him a man, mute and demon-possessed. And when the demon was cast out, the mute spoke. And the multitudes marveled, saying, it was never seen like this in Israel. But the Pharisees said, he cast out demons by the ruler of the demons. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, we just come before you now, and as we open your word, Lord, we give it to you. Lord, each of us in this room need to hear from you. Lord, prepare our hearts to hear from you and you alone. Lord, I ask that you would just move in this place. Speak to us in a way, Lord, that we cannot walk out of here the same. Lord, change me. Use your word to change me. Use your word to glorify yourself. Lord, I ask that you would just be with us this time, that we be attentive to your spirit and the moving. Watch over us this time. In Jesus' name, amen. We have a passage here, like I said, it's very short. And two men had been healed and left, and now it doesn't say who they are, but it says they. So some people brought to him a man. Now, I want us to look at that first of all, because there are times in the Scriptures where the Pharisees would bring someone in, maybe a man with a withered hand or somebody that had a problem, and they would bring them in maybe on the Sabbath to see what Jesus would do. And they would bring that person in to test him. I don't believe that's what's happening here. I believe what's happening here is there were people that cared about this man. And they made sure that that man got to Jesus. And we could stop right there and say, okay, we're everyone guilty that we don't do this enough. They went out and they brought, and behold, they brought him a man. They brought Jesus a man. It doesn't tell us his name. It doesn't matter. They knew this man had a problem. Now, it doesn't tell us if they knew he was demon-possessed. They knew he couldn't speak. They knew he was mute. We'll get to that. But where we have to start, you and I today, before we can even get into this passage, is do you care as much as they did? Because Jesus was busy. Jesus was healing people. He was in somebody else's house. And they take the time to bring their friend that can't speak because they know that Jesus is the only answer. And if I stopped right there and I ask, and this has nothing to do with our church, because I'm talking bring them to the foot of Jesus. It wasn't talking about they brought him into the house. It wasn't talking about they brought him in among the group. They brought them to Jesus. They brought this man to Jesus. We need to be willing to take people to Jesus' feet. Well, how do we do that? We bring them because of our love to the feet of Jesus because we know that they have a problem. Now, Pastor, you're judging because you're saying those people have a problem. Stop right there because everybody in this room has a problem. I have a problem, you have a problem, and until we admit that, we've got a bigger problem. But what we have to do is we have to understand that if a person hears its speech, it may be a lifestyle, it may be something else, but everybody out there has a problem. Their problem is they're not with Jesus. That was the man's first problem. Yes, he was demon-possessed. Yes, he could not speak. But he's out somewhere else, and Jesus is in this house. So his first problem was he wasn't with Jesus. And you and I need to understand that that's the biggest problem this world has. Because if they don't find where Jesus is at, if they're never brought to the feet of Jesus, then the other problems are not going to not be taken care of. But the problem is you and I want them just to come to church and hear the pastor. Well, I got news for you. Your pastor is not that good. And I'm not just saying that. I'm saying that it's Jesus that we need to take them to. It's Jesus that they need. They need to be in the presence of Jesus. And until you and I are willing to say, me getting them to Jesus is more important than them being upset with me, that's where it's all got to start. Do we care that they need to be with Jesus? These people were obviously his friends. I doubt they were just walking down the road and found this man that couldn't speak and said, hey, come with us, we're going to see Jesus. I doubt that was the case. They probably knew him. They obviously cared enough to get him to the feet of Jesus. So they brought him to Jesus. Now, every one of us, I don't care if you've been a Christian for 40 years, 50 years, 60 years, 100 years, I don't care how long you've been with Jesus. You've accepted him as your personal Savior. If that's where you're at, that's great. But you still need to be at the feet of Jesus. We all still need to be at the feet of Jesus. Because every one of us have a problem. Every one of us have a different problem. If I'm a Christian, then I have a problem because I'll be honest with you, I probably don't pray enough. I probably don't read my Bible enough. I probably don't witness enough. I probably don't testify enough. I've got a lot of problems, and you do too. And those problems are not going to be fixed until I get at the feet of Jesus. Now, I try to fix them on my own, and you try to fix yours on your own, but that's not going to happen. The only way our problems are ever going to be solved is at the feet of Jesus. These people cared enough to bring him to the feet of Jesus. I was blessed when I was in high school. I had a young man that was a friend of mine, and he hounded me until I came to youth with him. And he Steve, why don't you come to church Sunday night? We're having youth. Why don't you come to church Wednesday night? We're having youth. Why don't you come to church Sunday morning? And he would not let up. I thought, man, I'm going to go just to get this guy to leave me alone. Not only that, there's a good-looking girl there. I'm going to go. And so I went. And I didn't go for the right reasons, but I ended up being at the feet of Jesus. I heard teaching from the Bible, and they shared with me. So it's a blessing when we have somebody else bring us to the feet of Jesus because they care enough. But there are people out there that they're going to end up at the feet of Jesus one way or another. Everybody is. The Bible says every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. It's going to happen. Whether you like it or not, it's going to happen. So we can come the easy way by accepting someone's invitation and finding ourselves at the feet of Jesus and acknowledging Jesus because we want to learn to love him. Or there's the hard way that you're going to come to the feet of Jesus. And that's when he returns. And when he returns, it's not going to be an easy way that people find themselves at the feet of Jesus. But you know, there's also another hard way. Have you ever heard about the two before method? Let me tell you about the two before method. It's that method that God has to use on me sometimes when I'm not getting it and all of a sudden it's like wham, right in the forehead. He allows something to happen to get my attention. And sometimes it would feel better if it was a two before to the head. There's an easy way to come to Jesus because when he died on the cross, he made himself available so that we could come to him and surrender. Or there's that way that sometimes is painful. And then eventually for those that refuse to accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, there will come a day when they will find themselves at the feet of Jesus at the judgment. This man found himself at the feet of Jesus. And that's what we have to do today. Next, it goes on and it says, and I about missed this, it says they brought a man, a mute and demon-possessed. So he had some pretty serious problems going on. Affected his life, affected his spiritual life. And it says, and when the demon was cast out, the mute spoke. You know, it doesn't say how Jesus cast that demon out. It doesn't say whether he spoke and the demons left, and like at one point they went into a herd of pigs. It doesn't say that he laid his hand on him. It doesn't say how Jesus healed him of the demon possession. But you know what? That's none of my business. And it's none of your business. Because you and I can't put Jesus in a box and say, this is how he should heal. We do that. We want him to heal our problem. We want him to take away the issue that we're dealing with, because that's how he's always done it before. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, Pastor, so he's got to do everything the same. No, he doesn't. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. God is a God that is just and merciful and gracious and loving, and that will never change. But the methods, he may stick his finger in your ear, he may spit on his hand and touch your tongue, he may touch your eyes, he may just speak to you. He can heal you however he wants. Don't put him in a box. But here, all we know is that the demon was cast out. Don't miss this. The demon was on the inside, and it was cast out. God wants to start on the inside and work his way out. In Matthew chapter 23, verse 26, Jesus talks to the Pharisees about how they were hypocrites, how they just wanted to wash the outside of the cup. Because when it's put in the cabinet, that's all you see anyway, right? You turn it upside down, and so if you've washed the outside of the cup, you're good. Jesus says to wash the inside of the cup, and the outside will become clean. He began with this man that had these two problems. The mute obviously was the physical problem, but the spiritual problem had to be taken care of first. In this case, Jesus took care of it in that order. But he takes and he casts out the demon from the inside. So many times we want to have God just clean up the outside. Just take care of the outside, God, and then I can live the life you want me to live. No, you can't. No, I can't. We have to be transparent before Jesus. He can already see the inside. So why do we have to be transparent? That's for us. Jesus already knows the problem you have inside. Jesus, this man walks up and Jesus immediately knows he's demon-possessed. He sees inside the man. He knows your problem. He knows my problem. You and I can live side by side, work side by side, do all of our hobbies side by side, and you may never know the issues that I have. And I will never know the issues you have. But Jesus does. But where he wants us to be transparent is before him. He wants me to acknowledge those things to him. He already knows them. When I confess my sins, it's not like it's new to him. It's not like you need to confess your sins so Jesus will know your sins. No, that's not the way it works. God already knows my sins. He wants me to confess them and give them to him and acknowledge that I'm that way so that he can take care of them. This man's demon possession was cleansed first. Too many times, we just want to take care of the outside, like I said. And it's like a person's house. Jesus is not going to force his way in. He wants you to invite him. He already knows what's in there. He's the owner of the house. But you know what? most of us are just like spiritually the same way we are physically. Because when somebody comes over to the house, oh, meet them at the door. Don't let them come in. Oh, no, my house, and this is not my wife's fault. This is my fault. So I'm trying to get myself out of trouble here before I do. But it's that idea, that understanding that when somebody comes to your house and you're not prepared for company, you want to do everything you can to keep them, I'll meet you at the porch, or why don't I meet you outside? I'll meet you at the car. I'll get it and bring it out. You've all said that. You've all done that. We do that spiritually to Jesus. Man, I don't want him to come inside. I want to meet him at church. I want to meet him at Bible study. He wants to come in. And then sometimes we're a little bit better off because we know somebody's coming, and so I clean up the living room and I close the door to the office and I close the door to the back bedroom and I close the door to my bedroom and I pick up that area that they're going to come in and see. So they come in and the guest bathroom is clean and the living room is clean, and the entryway is clean. That's as far as you go. Stop right there, because you open that door, it's going to have an avalanche type of deal. We have that spiritually. We have this area where Jesus is allowed to come into our lives. What's on the inside, but he wants it all. He wants to be able to walk through the whole house. This man was cleansed on the inside first. The demon was cast out. Then the next thing that happened, the mute spoke. This man, we don't know how long he had been mute. Maybe from birth, we don't know. It doesn't matter. But all we do know is that once the inside was taken care of, then the outside was changed. If you and I will let Jesus change the inside, we will experience change on the outside. And the change won't be temporary if Jesus starts on the inside. The outside of your life reflects the inside. We talked about this Wednesday night at Bible study. When somebody sees me worship, that really means, what is God worth to you? What are you showing him as his worth? If you worship, then you show worth that he has in your life. Because he's changed you on the inside, and now it shows on the outside. This man was demon-possessed, and when that was taken care of, he spoke. This was a transformation that I wish I had. When Jesus comes in and he takes care of it, and bang, just like that, this man spoke. Our transformation is a process. Sometimes God begins that inside cleaning, taking the things out of our life, because he gives us his word and we apply it to our lives, and he begins to take things out of our life that we know shouldn't be there. And as he does that, it changes the outside, and that transformation is a process that the Bible calls sanctification. Taking me from where I was before I met Jesus to cleaning me up, a long process, to the day that I meet Jesus in heaven and I stand like he is because of his grace and mercy, because of his righteousness. This man spoke. There's a lot of times when somebody will come forward and accept Christ. And I can look back to when I accepted Christ, and man, I was so excited and so on fire for God. I was ready to go and just change the world for about a week. You all been there, right? That's what happens. And what this man can teach us is when that change took place, and I don't know what day this was, but when he spoke, guess what he did the next day? Probably spoke again. And guess what he did the next day? He probably spoke again. He probably didn't ever get to a point of saying, you know, I'm tired of talking. Because he'd spent part of his life not being able to talk. And so I'm sure he spoke every day of his life. When God changes me, why would I ever want to go back to what I was? Why would if he gives me speech, would I ever want to go back to being mute? If he changes my heart and draws me to him, why would I ever want to walk away? He spoke the next day too. So it was continuous. This transformation was a process, but it was a continuous process. So they brought this man, mute and demon-possessed. The demon was cast out and the mute spoke. That's all we hear about this man. But look what happens next. There were those there. It says, and the multitudes marveled, saying, it was never seen like this in Israel. Man, we have never seen anything like this in Israel. In all the time of my life, I've never seen this before. And it wasn't just one person. It says it's a whole group. Multitudes marveled. When you allow God to change your life from the inside out, people that have never seen that happen before are going to say, I don't understand. I don't understand how this is happening. And then they've got to make a decision. Are they going to believe in God? Are they going to believe it was the power of God? They're not seeing you. If they are, then you need to set them straight. It's not about you, it's about Jesus. But these people said, I've never seen like this before. Because it was something God done. When you allow God to move and change you from the inside out, you will notice the change. The same as this man went from mute to speaking. What a change. That's the change you and I should feel. Not in that sense of mute versus speaking, but in what God has done in you from where you were before to where you are now. Well, you know, Pastor, I was never a bad person. I accepted Christ at a young age. I went to church all my life, and so I never rode with hell's angels. I was never a drug addict. I never killed anybody. I was always a good person, and so I don't see a whole lot of change. Because you're looking at what you see instead of what God is doing in your life. So ask yourself, what is God doing in my life? Do I see anything? Because there are people that accept Christ, they walk down the aisle, they prayed to ask Jesus Christ into their heart, and then they never let Him change them from the inside out. That's where we've got to be. Some people are going to see, but if you don't see the change, don't expect other people to see the change. They marveled because it had never been like this before. Verse 34, but the Pharisees said, he casts out demons by the ruler of the demons. These were the religious people. And they sat there and they knew this man. He come in and he can't speak. And Jesus casts out the demon and he begins to speak. And instead of giving credit to Jesus, they deny the fact that Jesus is God. And they say, well, that must be a demon that done that. No matter what God does in your life, when you allow Him to work through you and change you and have you become what He desires you to become, there are still going to be people that will refuse to acknowledge God moved in your life. And that does not mean you did anything wrong. Because this was Jesus, and they denied that He did what was right. So, how they respond is not up to me. They may marvel or they may deny. But the issue is, what are you going to do to start with? This all started because somebody brought him to Jesus. Somehow he found himself at the feet of Jesus. How long has it been since we've been at the feet of Jesus? Now, maybe you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior. You may be as religious as the day is long. But if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, then you've never really been at the feet of Jesus. Because I would say that Judas Iscariot, geography-wise, he was with Jesus, but he was never at the feet of Jesus. Because his heart was never at the feet of Jesus. So religion doesn't cut it. It comes to accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, making Him the Lord of your life, surrendering your life to Him. But Christian, you have to find yourself at the feet of Jesus every single day. You know, the Bible says His mercies are new every morning. Why does He say that? Because He's waiting for you every morning. And we go a couple times a week to the feet of Jesus. He's there, He's waiting, but I'm okay. No, you're not. If I ever get to the point where I say I'm okay, then I'm not. So we've got to be at the feet of Jesus. We've got to be transparent and allow Him to cleanse us from the inside out. And we've got to experience that change every day. If you've never accepted Christ, then all you've got to do is be transparent and say, God, I'm a sinner. And I need to be saved by Your grace, because there is no other way. You can't do enough, I can't do enough to be saved. It's only by His grace, through faith in Jesus Christ, that we can be saved. And that starts on the inside. Man, I had so many Bible verses memorized before I ever even knew who Jesus was. I had the head knowledge, but I didn't have the heart knowledge. He starts on the inside. Christians, we're not perfect. We got to be at the feet of Jesus, but we need cleansing too. Yes, my salvation is set because I've accepted Christ as my personal Savior. But my state of walking daily, I stumble and I fall. I mess up. And I have to take that to the feet of Jesus and let Him cleanse me. And then I need to experience that change every day. As excited as this man was the second day when he got up, you think he waited to find somebody to talk to before he was, well, I wonder if I'll be able to talk today. I'd say when he got up screaming. Because he wanted to know that that change was there. How long, Christians, since your spiritual life just cried out of the blessings God has given you? Or are you content that, well, I had them yesterday? No, you're not. Allow the change and allow others to see that change, but know that change is not you, it's in you by the grace of God. So where do we need to start? At the feet of Jesus. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, we just come before You. We thank You and praise You for the cross. Lord, I've said this over and over, and I still say it, I still believe it. I don't know why You would love me. I don't know why You would die for me. But I know You did, and I will never doubt it. Father, I pray for anyone in this room that does not know You as their personal Savior, that they would not walk out of this place without turning their heart over to You. Father, give us strength as Christians to change, to be drawn, to be encouraged, to be convicted. Lord, help us, because we need to be at Your feet that we might stand and scream for You. In your precious name we pray. Amen.